Dear sisters and brothers of St. Gregory's, a grand hello to you, our far-flung and extended community, as we remain connected now through our devices, our apps, our emails and telephones. The same message and greeting still remains as true and powerful that no pandemic can crush or minimize. We say to each other, Christ is risen, indeed he is risen. I realize as I'm recording this message that I'm speaking from a position of great privilege. I'm among the many millions in our country who are retired and are now receiving retirement benefits into which we contributed most of our active adult life. At the same time, the generations of active workers, both younger and older, probably very many of you, are now living with the looming threat of unemployment, the worries of feeding families, of paying mortgages, and of course an economy and health system that has revealed its cracks and failures, and that I'm sure our nation will be repairing for many years into the future. In the midst of this, we remain anchored in our faith, and together we wonder, what will we look like as a church? How will our community bonds be affected? How will we hold together? And as we greet each other across the distances with this resounding Christ is risen, never more sharply do we see the importance of that tiny verb joining the two words Christ and the word risen. Notice well that we say he is risen and not that he has risen. That present tense of the verb is signifies something about the Christ whom we have followed through his work of bringing together disciples, the man and the woman who left everything to be with him, his voluntary suffering and death, and his rising on the third day. If we just said that he has risen, it would be a nice simple commemoration of a historic event, something that happened, as stories generally tell us, once upon a time. Next year, we would come together again and tell that story once more, and we would remind ourselves that all that happened so that we could be better people by remembering Jesus' sacrifice and the teachings that he has left us. But no, we deliberately do not use the past tense that he has risen, but we say he indeed is risen to make the point that in his risen state, he is truly present among us and not simply a historic figure who lived once upon a time, went away to some distant heaven, and will reappear at some future day to judge the world. That idea is all too prevalent in many places, but it has nothing to do with the Jesus Christ of our faith, who exclaims confidently to his women and men friends, Look, my friends, I shall remain with you until the end of time. This risen Christ is not a religious figure whom we can talk about in our meetings for worship, but he is the living God, who invisibly draws us all together, the entire world, having said to those friends of his long ago, Wherever two or three of you gather in my name, there will I be among you. No pandemic, no global catastrophe, no wars, no world religions and human conflicts and horrors can change that experience and faith in his living presence in us and among us. But the pandemic that has gripped the world has shown us that not only is there any longer a business as usual with regard to our daily life, but it is true also about how we see ourselves as the church. If we could once take for granted that we could get up on a Sunday morning, and if we had not made other plans, we could be confident that there would always be a priest and a choir at church where we could arrive at any time, light a candle, say our prayers, receive Holy Communion, and share a delightful meal and coffee with fellow members. Suddenly, that is no more. And if we follow the science, it is not likely to return before the start of school, not this coming September, but in September of the following year, of 2021, at the earliest. Thanks to the live stream of services, to the few who were allowed to remain to lead prayers in the church building, as we all gathered around our screens with small makeshift home communions, it was the living and present Christ who held us all together, even as we virtually gathered in his name. This Pascha, I accepted Father Eric's invitation to contribute a Paschal message for Bright Week. And so, I eagerly went to church on Bright Monday, set up my camera, and prepared to share with all of you a random stream of thoughts about what I felt were the implications of this special time for the church. I had not realized that in my eagerness to be with you, I had rambled on for 35 minutes and produced a veritable Reader's Digest of most of my sermons in one sitting. Way too long, and that's why you are now listening to this condensed version of some of the concerns that I wanted to share. When I thought about the challenge to put that stream of thoughts into a few minutes, it became clear that it comes down to two fundamental questions that I believe will, or perhaps in my opinion, ought to, occupy us for the road ahead of us for a long time. The first question that will demand our truly serious effort is the question, who is Jesus Christ? For a Christian community, it might seem a question too obvious to ask. But I always remember Father Thomas Hopko, one of our former rectors in the parish's founding years, saying to future pastors at seminary, "When you preach, never take for granted that people have heard of Jesus Christ. Always talk to them about him." The second question, one that flows from the first, is, what is the church? And again, it would seem at first glance that the answer is as obvious as asking, who is Jesus Christ? When we were all baptized, we were shown our identity, each one of us, as three essential things, that each one of us is made by God to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Insofar as Christ shows us most perfectly what those three aspects of our humanity are, he reveals to each of us what we can become as well. What is our true mission as baptized members of Christ's body? I hope that you have a chance to join me in my longer conversation, the one which I recorded Monday at church. It was a beginning and an invitation. You can call or email me if you want the link, and it might get posted in our parish site. I don't know. That is now out of my hands. But my intention in the video was to start a long conversation. I put out the questions that concerned me with my sense of the history of our community. If you want to join that conversation and some of my questions might resonate with you, you can let me know at my usual email, which is simply my name flipped with the last name first. So you would write to vinogradovalexis@gmail.com. Or you can write me also at a nickname that a generation of kids adopted for me, which is the Russian meaning of my last name. So you can also write to me at fathergrapes@gmail.com. Well, may it please God to see us once more sharing a full, joyous, physical fellowship with one another at a time when not only will the COVID masks come off, but perhaps also all the other masks that have hidden us from one another as we carried on in seemingly normal times before. Christ is risen. Le Christ est ressuscité.